Another CVE? Yeah, you know me. And why did the Google employee cross the street? For healthcare. And if Microsoft Clippy and ChatGPT had a baby, Microsoft would name it Copilot. This and so much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the March 21st episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Matt Fox, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How are you doing today, Tony?
Excellent, not Ray. How are you doing, Matt?
As Matt, I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty well. You know, had a nice weekend. I did a little bit of updating on some of my local infrastructure here at the house. An old Synology got a little refurb work done. I went in and did some patch panel work in my basement, which is nice.
This is geek porn over here, but it is balanced so perfectly with like people getting PTSD. Why would you do that on the weekend? This is the best weekend ever. Why would you do that?
I'm sorry, I like pain. You know, but look, nothing. This is about me. It's not even about you. You know what it is about? 600 drones at South by Southwest getting together to send a message to everyone that was at the event. They got Rickrolled. I mean, you think that, you know, you go to this this event, it's all about pushing technology and entertainment and everything else. Ooh, check out that QR code. Let me go scan it because who knows, maybe I'll get a discount in Applebee's. Nope, I got Rickrolled. And, you know, that's something because there was a lot of buildup to this. I mean, the drones flew around in an area, I believe it was above a school in Austin, for a full hour. They had a 600. Countdown. 600 drones, okay? All for the sake of getting everyone to watch Rick Astley's music video that we've all seen so many times. And I don't know, I think part of me is laughing inside because yes, Rick rolling someone's always great, but doesn't there come a point where you just want to see emerging, not even emerging technologies, but technologies being used in cool ways to show something that's really cool and maybe less than 30 years old?
Maybe this bridges the gap. Maybe this is one of those, look at this amazing I gotcha.
All I'm saying is, I don't know if these drones gave anything up or let anyone down or if they're going to turn around and hurt you.
That's awesome. So just to be clear, they went up, they formed a QR code. Everyone was super excited about this amazing display of technology. And then you take a picture and you read the QR code and you get the video.
Yeah, you see a guy wearing an overcoat. I don't know about you. When I see a dude wearing an overcoat, I'm not like, yes, I want more of this. That's usually, no.
I'd like to point out, as a huge advocate and practitioner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, where you have to be 12% gay just to, you know, do the sport, the overcoat, you're like, yeah, let's see what's going on. Maybe you never know. You know what you should do, though?
Yes, I don't want to see what's going on with the overcoat, but I do want to see what's going on in the news. So how about we get to that?
Well, let's get into the news. In our first story, straight from Huntress.com, here's everything we know about CVE 2023-23397. Everyone should be listening up. To clarify, this vulnerability relies on what application the user is utilizing to check their email, namely Outlook.exe. It's irrelevant where the email is hosted. Please refer to Microsoft's official advisory for the list of security updates that need to be installed on the end user system. Huntress has been tracking CVE 2023-23397, a critical vulnerability 0-day that impacts Microsoft Outlook. And unlike other exploits we've seen in the past, this exploit is particularly dangerous because no user interaction is required to trigger the exploit. Once an infected email arrives in Microsoft Outlook in their inbox, sensitive credential hashes can be obtained. What it does, the threat actors are exploiting the vulnerability by sending a malicious email, which again, does not need to be opened. From here, attackers capture NTLM v2 hashes, which enable authentication in Windows environments. This allows threat actors to potentially authenticate themselves as the victims, escalating privileges, or further compromising the network. For more information, we are bringing on Sharon Martin at Huntress, the product owner and overall ninja. You heard that correctly. Sharon, thank you so much for coming on MSP Dispatch and talking to this audience. In the nicest, most respectful way that I can say this, you have completely triggered my my anxiety attacks. And yeah, and right now I'm like, no one send me email. My email account is closed. You may be talking to me. I'm not getting your emails. Thank you for coming on the show. Now, in the nicest, most respectful way, on behalf of everyone, tell us what's happening. How can we fix this? Talk to us.
Sure thing. I mean, well, the number one thing I'm going to say is, how do we fix it? Patch, 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 please patch. Microsoft's released a patch. There's no reason not to patch. I know there are some folks who are asking, well, if I have X configuration, am I really vulnerable to this? If you're using the actual application on your end user system, then odds are there is a vulnerability there and you should update it. If you are checking your email solely by webmail, you're okay.
The patch, is the patch locally on the desktop, or is, yes, the patch on the, okay. For those in the hosting environment, they think, oh, I'll just apply the Exchange patch. Well, what about Office 365? Oh, they'll take care of it. No, this is an admin pushing the Outlook patch to everyone everywhere. Is it just Outlook, or is it, are there, let's say, iOS apps or other email apps that this is also exploiting?
No, it's just Outlook on Windows systems. And to be clear, the email message is actually really a novel technique. They're using you can apparently specify a custom WAV file that can be added onto a calendar invite. And that's how the vulnerability is triggered. So somebody sends you an invite, the invite time rolls around, you didn't even accept the meeting, and it triggers the exploit, and your NTLM credentials have now been, you know, sent.
So is the exploit done via the WAV, the custom WAV file? Is that the novelty that you refer to? Which, by the way, you and I have completely different definitions of novel ways of doing things.
that is correct.
So what if you don't have sound enabled by Outlook? Is that going to enable this particular exploit or disable the exploit if you just don't have sound enabled?
It should, actually, no, we never even tested that. Like, what do you do if you turn off audio notifications?
I disabled
that. I'll have to get back to you on that one, because now I'm going to explicitly check it. as far as I know,
I don't even like the pop-up notifications. I disable all those immediately. Yep. I don't like what I consider to be ancillary triggers to be done from the Outlook into, you know, system default settings. I'm of the opinion that everything is very purpose-built, ironically, very app-specific. And if we can isolate it and not have it triggering other components in the system, in the operating system, to me, that I feel safer. I feel more cuddly and warm, which, of course, you've completely destroyed by telling everyone about this hack.
I mean, you didn't tell everybody. Microsoft told everybody.
No, it's amazing. What, from talking to the MSP community out there, and you're talking to them all, you are now talking to the MSP, and you're saying what to them to get the users to, I'm going to say two things, to get the users to update immediately. The next question is, and I'm just throwing this one out there because maybe hypothetically everyone doesn't apply the update, because I know that would never happen, but let's just assume that that's the case here. The second scenario is, what do you do if you are paranoid? If you think somebody has compromised your credentials, is an update and then a password change in line? So give me your advice to the MSP community.
So honestly, if somebody's compromised the credentials and they've used a pass the hash attack, they've potentially gone elsewhere on the network. I would almost say the first step would be to change those credentials temporarily, disable the account if possible, and then patch as soon as possible. You know, if you suspect that this has been used, I would go the let's shut it off versus let's patch and then let's change the credentials. Either way, it's always a good idea to, you know, like, you definitely want to follow up with that patch. But it's, I guess the question is, like, how have you seen this across your network? Is it clear in logs that there was a login attempt that wasn't expected? Okay, if there was, then that seems like the account's compromised potentially, and you should rotate the credentials.
So let's pretend that the credentials have been compromised in some capacity, and then I go through and I change my authentication, the password. Will that be meaningless because the session is already established bypassing authentication? Is there a way to do? Is there a way to kill that session other than changing, refreshing the token? And sorry for those out there, I apologize for getting too deep in the technical tar pit, but I kind of feel like Sharon's going to be like, oh, this is the conversation I like.
So you're asking specifically about Active Directory and caching of the credentials on the domain controller.
So once authentication has been bypassed, well, so once authentication occurs, then a session is established between the application and, let's say, the server. But once authentication has occurred, that session is established, which means in theory, by in theory, I mean absolutely, you can change the credentials and it will have no bearing on the session established until that session expires. And the only real way to bump that session or kill that session is to refresh the token ID, which will, you know, kill it, the sessions for everyone. So they have to re-authenticate. So the question I'm referring to is, if you feel that your credentials have been compromised, is the only way to bypass this, obviously, one, ensure that everyone has been updated at the application level, and then two, to change the password, and then three, reset everyone's token ID refresh the token, which basically kills everyone's sessions and make you re-authenticate. Is that the only way to resolve this, or am I reaching too deep?
From a paranoid perspective, I don't think you're going overboard.
Oh, that's my language right there. You're speaking my language. That's I would. That's the first thing I would do. Pull the plug. Make everyone re-authenticate. Sharon, any closing thoughts to the admin community out there, straight from the overall ninjas, I refer to from Huntress. I can't thank you enough for being here, but what are your closing words? Close us out.
I mean, I kind of opened with them, right? Please take a look, patch. This wasn't the only CVE that Microsoft released updates for on Patch Tuesday. Keeping your systems up to date is really the most important thing you can do. But please take a look at Microsoft CVE. They've got some mitigations if you can't patch immediately for how you could block it in your environment temporarily.
Again, on behalf of the entire MSP community, thank you so much for being here, walking us through this. I'm a big fan of Huntress, and thank you for your participation at an amazing organization. Take care. We'll be in contact again. We're going to pull you on so you can reinvigorate my anxiety again. Can't thank Sharon enough for being on top of this. It's a huge help for everyone. Please, please, please update your applications immediately. This is a 0-day vulnerability. Stay safe, stay healthy. And speaking of healthy, there may be some healthcare issues. Matt, what do you have for us?
Google won't honor medical leave during its layoffs, outraging employees. Written by Ron Amadeo for Ars Technica. Google's mass firings from January are still ongoing, and the reported mishandling of layoffs have caused employees to walk out of the job and send angry letters to management. Now, you may recall that back in January, Google CEO said that while layoffs in the U.S. were already taking place, changes in other countries would take some time due to local laws and practices. And that's starting to happen right now. It's starting with 200 employees being laid off from the Zurich, Switzerland office of the company this week. CNBC has reported that Google has decided not to honor pre-approved leave for laid-off employees. And employees feel Google is being cruel in how it's treating employees who are on medical or parental leave during the layoffs. When let go from Google, employees lose access to facilities located on campus, which may include their primary care provider if they use a doctor located on the campus. This can be a major problem for employees with health issues, and some have already reported losing access to their physicians upon receipt of their layoff email. One former Googler even said she was let go from Google from her hospital bed shortly after giving birth. Now, some Googlers have formed a group called Laid Off on Leave, which is attempting to get Google to honor its previously agreed go-to timelines for employees going through major life changes and measure up to the image it promotes to the world. This is quite the story, Tony. What do you think? What comes to mind as I'm kind of detailing what's going on here?
I'm very opinionated about this. I do have a strong opinion because I see both sides. Now the question is, what is the other side? Don't get me wrong. I'm human, and I see the humanity or the lack of humanity in taking away healthcare and agreed upon, hopefully contractual components. I see that. But the other side that I think that people are missing is that maybe 98% of everyone went seamlessly. That's a lot of people that were let go. So are these the squeaky wheels? Now, if that's the case, these can be exceptions to the rules. And oop, mea culpa, these are things that fall through the crack. We didn't have a predefined policy to address these, and we'll go back. So is this just PR? Now, the hospital component, believe it or not, I've been in the opposite side of it where I'm literally, my wife is giving birth to my son. And as she's in labor, one of my critical support people, support team members says, yeah, I quit. I know. I found another job, another opportunity. I said, can you give me like a week? Can you give me 4 days? I'll pay for a month. He said, no. I said, you realize I'm literally my wife is in labor right now. This could not be there could not be a worse time.
I don't need this labor dispute is getting ridiculous.
You've taken labor issues to a whole new level. That was infuriating to me. Was that intentional? Was that thought out, or was that just circumstantial? I think it was a little bit less circumstantial, but there was a circumstance, into that. So you have to weigh all this out. If you're looking at the vastness of employees that were let go in this particular situation, for the most part, Google is not known for being a cruel organization. So I'm going to assume that there's some just bad PR and some things taken out of context. I would love to see the follow-up on this of how it's addressed. If it's not addressed and there were absolutely agreed upon, pre-approved vacation or whatever the time off period, there could be some golden parachutes-ish involved in that were agreed upon and they're backing out of that, then we have a problem. Now it's not just bad PR. It's going to be an ongoing morale issue and a variety of other things. Sorry, that's my opinion because I think I'm straddling that line.
That was an interesting opinion. I think it was one that reflected an experience that not everyone's going to have gone through. I think that when I read this article, I become frustrated on the idea of any kind of healthcare situation arising due to an employment change. But at the same time, I'm also recognizing that we're reporting on something that's happening in a completely different country. And there are going to be different laws that have to be observed. So I think it's a little bit difficult for us to come to too much of a conclusion or have that much of an opinion. But the fact is that these are the layoffs that are continuing from what was discussed in January. And here we are getting towards the end of March. The layoffs are continuing. And I think that we're going to continue hearing news about this as they branch out into different countries. You have to keep in mind that the initial round of layoffs were in the United States. Now we're looking at different countries. I'm not looking at this as a as a spectator with a morbid curiosity as to what happens. But I will say that I am going to keep my eyes peeled because I want to see what happens in different countries as this goes on. And it's something I think that we're going to continue reporting here on MSP Dispatch, because it's again, I'm not trying to look like I'm observing someone else's misfortunes, but I'm curious to see where this goes. And I think that the audience will be as well, particularly since, yes, a good portion of our audience is the United States, but MSPs operate worldwide.
Absolutely. We'll hopefully keep everyone up to date. I'm assuming there's going to be some continual layoffs and some attrition happening. There's going to be a lot of transitionary processes in the quote-unquote upcoming financial headwinds, some quote-unquote trimming the fat. But I think this is going to play nicely into understanding maybe the cadence. Maybe this isn't such a bad scenario for the people that were let go that have a great package that end up moving on to another. By the way, I know many of these people right now that move on to another job that has an as good or better offering. And what a great new chapter in their life. This may be something taken out of context, just some bad PR, not enough reactionary time. So we'll keep everyone up to date.
And you know what? We're going to keep everyone up to date. Initially, I said to myself, hey, let's just ask AI what it thinks. But given that, most AI seem to be focusing on document formatting right now. Why don't we get on to that?
And on my next story from TheVerge.com, Microsoft announces Copilot, the AI-powered future of Office documents. Microsoft is announcing a new AI-powered Copilot for its Office 365 apps and services today, designed to assist people with generating documents, emails, presentations, and much more. The Copilot, powered by GPT-4 from OpenAI, will sit alongside Microsoft 365 apps, much like their assistant. Copilot is essentially a chatbot where you can even ask it to create 10-slide PowerPoint presentations based on a Word document, or analyze or even format Excel data. This means Excel users can use Copilot to instantly create SWOT analysis or a pivot table based on data. In Microsoft Teams, the Copilot feature can transcribe meetings, remind you of things you might have missed if you joined late, or even summarize action items throughout a meeting. Microsoft says it's testing its Office 365 Copilot with 20 customers right now and will be expanding the preview, pricing, and details in the coming months. Matt, let's unpack this. Two things, and only two things come up. The first one is very clear. I can be more creative and efficient and effective in all of my Excel documents, my Word, my presentations. The second thing is regarding Teams. I don't even have to be at the meetings. It can just summarize it for me. That's the one I care about. What are your thoughts?
First of all, I just got to do this. Pivot tables. And then other than that, I don't know how I feel about giving Clippy wings.
Clippy.
I mean, I look at this article and I get excited because I think there's a whole lot that can be done with this. I think that there is so many things around properly formatting documents, maybe having proper analysis of a document to really understand exactly how it could be formatted in the most efficient way. But you put Clippy in the conversation, everything just kind of falls apart.
I'm going to call this out. So somebody needs to, please, 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 somebody needs to do this in, what is it, DALL-E or one of the AI.
I know you're going with this. A little genetic splicing.
Clippy with a sword by the power of Grayskull, but that's ChatGPT. Like that's
by the power of ChatGPT.
By the power of GPT.
Oh, wait. But then if it's doing the Office documents, wouldn't it make more sense for him to hold the sword up and scream Excelsior?
Oh, no, that's funny. That's funny. There's so much productivity possibilities that have occurred instantly. And in fact, one of the stories that we should be talking about in the future is using ChatGPT for programming. There's a lot of MSPs out there that lack certain scripting and programming capabilities because you do, what's that called? Oh yeah, business, actual business decisions.
Oh, I thought you meant because you Stack Overflow. I'm sorry.
But because MSPs have more of a break fix using an out-of-the-box tool, because let's be blunt, the CTO of today is more of the vendor manager than they were of 20, 30 years ago, where mm-hmm. they were essentially doing the actual frontline work. So the vendor manager implies, you know, strongly that there's an out-of-the-box solution in some capacity that is typically purpose-built, and customizations past that are going to require anything from scripting to real development work. So people lack that connective tissue more Scott, than
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think what we're getting at in my mind is in it's only in here, I'm not haven't shared it with you yet, is intelligent scaffoldings is really what we're talking about here. It's the scaffolding. It's not all of the programmatic thought and functionality that's being put in there, but building scaffolding so you have best practices. You have some guardrails to work with so that you can accomplish your business goals, not have it be a facsimile of something that's been done before, but give you the basics, give you the foundations you need to build on top of in a way that's going to be effective and impactful for your customer, and done in a way that's considered to be following best practices to reduce security that. Concerns and other issues.
I love that. And the immediacy of the development required is now right at the tip of your fingers with ChatGPT. You could tell it, I would like a script that does X.
Yeah.
I would like a script that automatically previews these particular libraries for these particular things to be used in these particular areas, and it will generate the code for you. I've created Chrome plugins that summarize web pages for me using ChatGPT, and it tells you step by step what to do, gives you the code. So that's a story I want to do at a later time. But this, if this is all of that, is now in the hands of very, very localized content in the office environment. What an amazing tool, and I'm so excited to see what this turns out to be.
Look, we just went off on a tangent where we went into development as opposed to Microsoft Office, and I think that's just an indicator of how much excitement and how much is around the corner for everybody. So, folks, I do apologize for going off a little off reservation on that one, but I guarantee you are following us every single step of the way.
Let's land this plane, Matt. Land it.
Get that landing gear out, boys.
Everyone would love your feedback on this. Come on. Tell us what your thoughts are. Do you want to hear more about this Copilot implementation with Microsoft Office? Do you want to hear more about the, creating a Chrome browser plugin, maybe using ChatGPT to program your own applications, using ChatGPT to literally create the Pong game?
You're asking a lot, Tony. You're asking the audience a lot. A lot of different questions, a lot of ideas going on here. One place where it should all happen, our Discord.
We have a Discord.
We do. We have a Discord. It's amazing. In my first notable, Google Workspace launches annual plans along with a 20% increase for monthly users. Written by Ron Amadeo for Ars Technica. Google has announced that it's introducing annual plans for its Google Workspace, formerly known as G Suite, a set of productivity tools that include Gmail, Google Drive, Google Docs, and Google Sheets. The new annual plans are designed to provide customers with more flexibility and cost savings, as they're going to receive a discount for committing to one full year of service upfront. Customers who choose an annual plan will pay for 10 months of service and receive two free. However, Google is going to be raising the price of its monthly plans by 20% for new customers effective immediately, as in it's already happened. Current monthly plan customers will not be affected by the price increase until their next renewal date. The price increase is due to the rising costs of providing the service, and according to Google, it's not raised its prices in over a decade despite adding new features in the same period of time. Google Chrome now lets you disable all extensions with a single click, written by Joe Rogan for mspoweruser.com. Google Chrome Canary users can now disable all extensions on a web page with a single click. And after blocking those extensions on a web page, all they're going to need to do is reload the page again for them to be back in effect. Disabling extensions from a particular web page will not impact websites that you open later or already have open. Again, this feature is only available for users in the Canary channel. The ability to disable extensions on the current web page with a single click will hopefully be available to Chrome Stable channel users very soon. Over the years, there have been several extensions released that help developers in similar ways, and it's really nice to see a feature like this become one that's native to Chrome.
And my first notable mention from mspoweruser.com, Microsoft is testing a new setting in the recently released Canary build 25314 to let users try new features as soon as they're ready. The new toggle switch is called, quote, get the latest updates as soon as they're ready for your PC. It can be found in the Windows update page. When you enable the toggle switch, you grant permissions to allow Microsoft to push new features as soon as they're ready. How do you enable this get latest update feature? You download the Vive tool GUI from GitHub, install the app, open the app and search for feature ID 431-32439 and enable it. And in my next notable mention, straight from mspoweruser.com, Microsoft is releasing its new stable version of Edge, the browser. Microsoft is releasing Edge version 111.0.1661.44 for stable channel users. The latest version of Edge introduces a new Microsoft Edge PDF experience policy, which admins can now test after installing the update. With the new Edge update experience policy, Microsoft collaborates with Adobe to natively embed Adobe Acrobat PDF engine into the Microsoft Edge built-in PDF reader. Admins can now test the feature, enabling the new PDF reader enabled policy.
And now for the resource of the week, 7 new features in Microsoft Outlook 365 by Mike Tholfsen. Now, Mike has released a great video that details 7 of the newer features located in the most recent release of Microsoft Outlook 365. And some of these are pretty fantastic. For example, we've got Loop Components. And if you haven't checked out Loop yet, it's a piece of collaborative software that's a part of the Office 365 platform. And it's pretty cool. It also allows you to begin scheduling times, almost like a poll, to see when people that you want in a meeting are free, which is incredibly handy. There's calendar filtering, so you can look at calendar items on your calendar and figure out which ones were set by you versus other people and other filters. We can now embed YouTube videos in emails. There are message reactions, which are actually something I've been using for a couple of weeks now successfully, as well as a much easier Bookings with Me utility to make it easy for people to set times to meet with you. Definitely check this video out when you get a chance. The link is in the show notes.
And straight from our feedback and straight from the tubes, Derek Brawley says, does anyone think Ray's looking a little different on this episode? All jokes. As a small MSP, I love the show and always will watch this before anything else. Big fan. So Matt does not look like Ray, or does Ray not look like Matt? Thanks for the feedback.
Join us for Channel Engage, a free monthly live stream where IT vendors pitch their products and services to industry MSPs. Each month, Channel Program founder Kevin Lancaster and co-founder Matt Solomon introduce you to innovative emerging technology vendors. Don't miss this month's featured panel topic, incorporating OpenAI into managed services, opportunities, and challenges, featuring moderator Ray Orsini and guests Tom Lawrence and Jason Slagle, happening on Friday, March 24th at 12 p.m. EDT. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. March 20th through the 21st, an in-person event, MES Exchange Security in Indianapolis, Indiana. On March 22nd through the 23rd, another in-person event, ASCII MSP Success Summit in Buckhead, Georgia. And on March 24th at 12 p.m. Eastern, Channel Engage, incorporating OpenAI into managed services, opportunities, and challenges. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, the Tech Bar Podcast Episode 54 with Emilio Garcia of Tier 2 Technologies. On March 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partner First, Connecting the Dots, a holistic approach to resolving network and SaaS issues. And of course, every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit the thumbs up. If you didn't like it, go ahead and hit it 5 times. Make sure it's an odd number though. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Do you know we also have a Discord channel, which we just talked about?
Discord.
Where we post these stories all week. You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. And as we've all have agreed, my eyebrows are on fleek, so is Matt's mustache. Yes, that's right. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. It's there. It's all right there. You have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Or you can even leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. Yes, it's that easy. So, Matt, what an amazing show. We've opened this up amazing. We had Huntress. We had an actual ninja, from Huntress.
Might even still be here. We don't know.
We've talked about how everyone should keep their stuff up to date, a 0-day vulnerability, which, by the way, the moment this show ends, I am updating. I'm literally updating everything, which everyone should be doing as well. What a great show. What are your thoughts?
I think it was a show where we covered a lot of different topics that are, they're just so important to everything that's going on right now, whether it's security, the progression of artificial intelligence within our everyday lives, not just businesses, but everyday lives. And something as important as healthcare. You can't forget that there are people that are fueling and not fueling, but running everything that we're talking about every single day. And they need to be patched every now and then too. I think that's important. We can never forget
they need to be patched. Humans need it. Your computers and humans, which may be the same depending on your concept of virtual reality. Everyone, thank you so much for listening today. Please be safe. Update your stuff.
Take care of yourselves and each other. Have a good one.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Hold on 1 second. I just have to get this in here. Do you think someone at Microsoft was like, yo, the version number of this thing needs to look like a fake IP address?
Like it you know what? Let's go for IPv6 to see how much we can really mess with these people.
Who sprinkled the methamphetamines on top of semantic versioning over here? Because I've never seen that many periods in anything ever. Do better, Microsoft.
And jumping into my next story, straight from theverge.com, Microsoft announces,
Microsoft renounces everything from Amazon.
Oh, exactly. Microsoft Clippy. And in my next story from TheVerge.com, Microsoft announces toy boat. Say that five times. Here we go.